T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I figure we could do 4 matchups today. If it's okay. Too painful for you, we could cut it down. Or if you're
whatever
like,
you want to do, bro. I'm here for you, bro. I'm here till 6. I mean, you know.
All right.
And I don't have to try. I don't have to run to catch the pad train. I'm good.
Oh, it's a different world, man.
Oh my God.
I'm still not fully used to it, and it's been 3.5 weeks of being.
Yeah,
at home.
I don't know if I'm used to it or not. It is a very different dynamic. I'll say that.
No doubt about it. All right, so we've got 4 matchups. First, from the Franklin College region.
Yes. Right?
We've got a number one seed versus a 16 seed.
Okay.
The number one seed would be the infamous TARP game. The infamous AJ
Dewey
game.
The AJ Dewey disaster, right?
Correct. That is a one seed, certainly a fair one seed. And it is taking on the 16 seed here in this region. And that would be a difficult New York Ranger loss back in 1971 to the Chicago Blackhawks when they were defeated in 7 games.
Right. Right. That is interesting. And obviously, the A.J. Dewey game is going to win this.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
Sure.
But let me just say this about that particular series against the Blackhawks in 1971, which I believe was the a divisional round, however you want to call it, or the playoffs. That is the series where it's very interesting because that's the series where I went down to the ice with my buddy, friend of mine from years ago, a guy's name, high school buddy of mine by the name of Gary Lindenbaum. And I forget what game exactly we were at the Garden. But that's the game where we went down to the ice. We were sitting up in a blue heaven, of course. But we went down to the ice, and we saw Bobby Hull, the great Bobby Hull, who was on that team. You know, we're down at the ice, and we're calling Bobby over because we're trying to get him to autograph our program. And the security guy's pushing us away. What are you doing? You guys got to go by. Your seats are all upstairs. You got to get out of here, da-da-da. And Hull skates over and says, no, leave him alone.
Wow.
And signs the order on the ice. I'll never forget this. Signs the autographs for us on the ice. I mean, I will never – that is a moment I will never forget. The other thing interesting about that series, of course, Game 6 is the Pete Stemkowski game where they won in double overtime. And I remember listening to that, you know, facing elimination. I remember listening to that. At home, because I'm a senior in high school, and I'm in bed. I got the transistor, whatever radio was, listening to this game and going nuts. I remember at one point in that series, Stan Mikita hits the post in that overtime. Stemkowski eventually wins it, and that weekend of Game 7, which was on a Sunday, you called it the Franklin College region. I went out to visit Franklin College.
How about that?
And actually watched Game 7 in Franklin, believe it or not. And I believe it was 2-0. Jockman played well. I think the final score was 2-0, and they got beat in that series. So I'll remember that series. But obviously,
yes. Not,
there's very few things in my sports world that can compare to the out-and-out disaster of the A.J. Dewey game. 14-0 in Miami, the championship game, no tarp, all of that. Yeah, that was brutal. You know, the torrential downpour in Miami for how many days? Shula conveniently, who basically ran the NFL back then, he was the head of the rules committee and all of that. You know, he did everything. His team never got penalized. They never called a penalty on the Dolphins when Shula was back then. You know, never. God forbid he ever do that. St. Don. He doesn't have any tarp, none of that. And, of course, that's where I coined the phrase with Richard Todd that nobody, because A.J. Dewey, what, he had 3 picks in that game, whatever it was,
yes,
one for a touchdown.
Yes.
Right. And that's where I coined the phrase that nobody found the open linebacker better than Richard Todd.
Yes.
And Richard Todd was never the same after that game. That was it. He was never the same. He played one more year with the Jets in 83. Everybody was picking the Jets to win the Super Bowl that year in 83. Everybody was picking him. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated before the season started. He was also doing something on one of the TVs, one of the news shows. He had like a, every Monday he would do like a spot, right, Todd? And it got to the point, I think he actually had to stop doing it because it didn't turn out to be a very good year. I think they wound up finishing 7-9 that year. And that was it. Todd wound up getting traded to the Saints and really never heard from him again. And there you go. What a disaster. No, the A.J. Dewey game wins hands down.
There is no 16 seed versus one seed upset in the Franklin College region. And by the way, I put these up on Twitter to see if people would get this right. It was 83% that predicted you would say the AJ Dewey game. It should have been higher. I figured it'd be like 98%.
Yeah, you would think so. But again, that just getting back to the Ranger thing, that was a very memorable series. And like I said, I'll never forget that autograph from Bobby Hall. That's something that sticks will always stick out for me. As a huge memory.
All right, things are about to get a little bit more difficult now. Right, that was kind of an easier way in versus a 16. This is in the food salesman region, the 8 seed versus the 9 seed. Pat Riley resigns.
Wow.
Versus final game of the 2008 Jet season. Chad Pennington walks into his former home and defeats Brett Favre as the Miami Dolphins celebrate winning the AFC East.
Yeah.
Riley resigns versus Pennington beats Favre.
I think when you look back now, okay, I think as I look back now, it's got to be Riley resigning because, you know, that 08, see, here's the thing about 08. They had pretty much already, it was done already. Before the game even ended, the Ravens, I believe, had to lose, and they had pretty much won their game already by the time this game was over.
There were two things. One of two things had to happen. I'll never forget. One was never going to happen, and that was the Bills beating the Patriots in New England, I think.
Okay. I don't remember that aspect of it. I remember needing the Ravens to lose, and I remember that's the only thing I could hang my hat on.
That was
so
the other one.
Maybe that's what it was.
No, that's exactly what it was because we both. I remember we were on the air. The Patriots were not losing that game.
Whether Tom Brady's there or not, Matt Cass was
the quarterback. They won 11 games. It was never going to happen, and it didn't, obviously. The Patriots went easy.
And the week before, I believe, was the game in Seattle. Like, they played in the Seattle in the snow, and Favre could barely even throw the ball by that point.
It was off.
It was a disaster.
By the point of the game, because the Ravens
ended up winning
easily.
Seattle, by the way, won four games. By the way, I think Seattle only won like four games that year. And wasn't that like the last win of Mike Holmgren's career or something like that?
I think it was, yeah. I think it was.
Right.
By the time that game was taking place, you're right. The odds of winning the division were or making the playoffs were out the window. It was more not having the Dolphins and Chad Pennington celebrating. Right. At Giant Stadium.
You know what?
That
didn't bother me as much as the Riley thing because that was, who knows how it would have turned out. Look what happened after Riley left. After that 95 season, when Riley leaves, he goes to Miami, okay? He takes over everything in Miami and what? Three championships later in Miami? You know? I would have to say that. I mean, the Riley thing was a much bigger deal than the Jets losing the last game of 08 because the cat was already out of the bag for the Jets by that point.
And you know what's funny? I think, and I say this all the time with history, what happened next? Well, what happened next was actually a decent run in Jet history.
Right. They went to back-to-back championship games.
Yeah.
Yep.
It wasn't a sign of bad things. It was actually things were going to turn for a while.
And even though they won the division that day, I know you were with Stephen Howard Beach that day, right? Lucky you.
Yeah.
Even though they won the division, remember Chad got in the playoff game. He was terrible against the Ravens, picked them off like three or four times. So they killed the Dolphins in that game. So the Riley thing was much worse. Much worse.
The people got it right again because 55% said Riley resigns, 45% said Pennington defeats Favre. So they were right on their two.
Pat Riley
so
walking off the court after Patrick misses the finger roll at the end of game 7 against Indiana, never to come back as Nick coach again.
All right, here we go. This is in the overnight region. The New York Jets draft as a whole versus Luis Castillo dropping the pop-up Subway Series, a game that we replayed on this station a week ago. Castillo drops the ball versus the New York Jets draft history.
Well, this is a blowout. I mean, obviously the Jets drafts, it's not, is it even debatable? as opposed to Luis Castillo, you know, dropping a pop-up to cost the Mets a regular season game. Now, you know, that game is made into a much bigger deal than it should be, as we said, we mentioned, I talked about that last week, because of the fact that, you know, they make it into a Yankee classic when this is a team that's got 27 championships, and a drop up by Luis Castillo in a regular season game is a classic. I mean, not in my book it's not, but it is because it's against the Mets, and obviously it was the year they wound up winning the World Series, the Yankees too. But the Jet drafts, I mean, that's as much pain as, you know, that's pain, constant pain. I mean, we could go on and on.
You know, it's funny. I'm not rooting for anything here. And this is all about you. Whatever you pick is more pain.
Right.
So I have no rooting interest, but
right.
One of the controversies from the selection committee was that Luis Castillo was seeded way too terribly, because this is the 13 seed. The Jet draft is the 4 seed. And the argument I made about why I didn't seed Castillo higher was something you actually just hit on, which is, at the end of the day, it's a regular season game.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It's a bad moment. It's a moment that, sure, it brings pain. I mean, it annoys you the way it's glorified and all that. But it's tough to think that that's like one of the epic moments. It was a regular season loss.
And again, if it's a game against, from the other side of it, you know, we're talking, it's a big deal for the Yankees because it was against the Mets. If Castillo drops this pop up in a game against the Cubs, let's say in Wrigley Field, we're not looking at it the same way.
Right.
You know?
I agree with you.
You know, so clearly the Jet drafts are, you know, there's been much, I mean, the pain of Jet drafts is just, it's incalculable how bad that is.
The Jet draft is a 4 seed, a live threat to go on a very deep run in this tournament, clearly.
Yes, it is. I would probably agree with that.
And the people got this right. 64% said Jet draft, 36% said Luis Castillo.
Right. I'm surprised that's not higher as well, but.
Yes. Yeah, you know, there's, because you know what ends up happening, I think, with a lot of people when they fill this out or they predict? A lot of it is how they feel about it.
Right.
And not necessarily how you feel about it.
That is true.
If you listen all the time, or you're like me, I work with you, you have an idea of what you think, but sometimes it's tough to read. So I think that's where the kind of the polling gets off a little bit.
I see.
Our final matchup of the day, the ever crazy 12-5 matchup. We always see upsets 12-5. In that. The 12 seed versus the 5 seed in the midday conference features Joe Namath being injured in the preseason.
Oh, man.
Back in 1971.
Wow.
Versus the Knicks losing to the Baltimore Bullets in Game 7.
Wow.
Also in 1971.
Boy, that's tough. That's tough.
It's a tough one. It's a 12-5 matchup. It's crazy.
I you know what? I can still see Bill Bradley missing that shot from the corner too, in Game 7. You know, Willis wasn't 100%. That was a very tough series to lose. Defending champions. The injury to Namath has to win though, because you know why? Because the Knicks come back. They get to the finals the next year, even though they lose to Wilton and the Lakers. They win the championship in 73. That injury to Joe Namath, I mean, who knows? I mean, that's, you know, he was really never the same guy again. You know, he really wasn't. I mean, he came back at the end of 71. He had that memorable game against the Niners where, you know, he comes off the bench, he throws a couple touchdown passes, and then in typical Jet and, you know, unfortunately too many times in Joe Willie fashion, he throws a big pick. I think Mike Fuller was the safety that intercepted the pass at the end of the game, and they wound up losing it, I think, 24-21 at Shea. Not that they were going anywhere anyway that year. They wound up finishing, I think, 6-8 that year. But, you know, Namath was never the same guy. And so I got it. You know, the Knicks came, like I said, the Knicks came back, and it got me another championship 2 years later, as bad as that loss to the Bullets was. And, you know, and the Knicks would also wind up getting Earl Monroe, like, you know, the next year as well. So I got to say the Namath injury wins. I think it's got to be that.
Well, I give the people credit. They were 4-4. 63% said Namath hurt in the preseason. 37% said the Knicks lost to the Bullets in 7 games in 1971. So they nailed it. So we have, if you're just tuning in, 1982, the A.J. Dewey game advancing, Pat Riley resigning advancing, the Jet draft advancing, and Joe Namath hurt in the preseason in 1971, all advancing to the round of 32.
One more thing about that game. Yes. I remember watching that game on TV, and it was against the Detroit Lions, and Namath throws an interception. I want to say, was it he was either – the two guys involved were Paul Newmorf, who was a linebacker for the Lions, and Mike Lucci, who also was a linebacker. And I want to say it was Lucci that got the interception, and it was Newmorf that hit Namath and hurt him, as Namath, for reasons known only to him, in a preseason exhibition game, tries to make a tackle on the play. Mm. I mean, just think about it. For no reason. And remember, Namath the year before only played like five games in the 1970 season. He broke a bone in his hand and didn't play the rest of the year after that. So
it's probably, like, I think as an athlete, just gut instinct would be my guess.
Right.
You're not
right.
even thinking it's the preseason.
And I remember this too. As he's walking off the field, they're showing him. I think he actually walked off the field. He actually thought, oh, okay, it's not that bad. Next thing you know, he's done for the year. Now, he did come back like with about 4 weeks to go. I mentioned that game against the 49ers, and they wound up losing it anyway. But, yeah, so it's got to be that. It's got to be the Namath injury.
There you go. If you want to see the whole bracket, it's on my Twitter account, Evan Roberts, WFAN, or WFAN.com/pain.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.